pick it up about 26. Okie doke, before I read this, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this idea and help us to look forward to and pray for the time when you receive the glory that is finally due you. And I pray that you'd help us to understand this idea and that we can prepare and look forward to this wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Luke 1:26. Okay, this is when Gabriel, two angels in the Bible are named, Gabriel and Michael. And Michael usually comes and beats somebody up. And Gabriel usually comes and gives a message to somebody. And that's where we get the phrase, a gift of gab, okay, for Gabriel. And so in verse 26, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So this is up north in Israel. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Okay, now each verse here, 31, 32, 33, there's like about three different ideas. President there, it's a prophecy, and we'll run it here. In verse 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, one, bring forth a son, two, call his name Jesus, three. That's first coming. No brainer, right? That's first coming. Then verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give on him the throne of his father David. So that could be first or second. You can go either way on that one. And then 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Okay, and then, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So that's clearly second coming. So if you follow that, 31, first coming, 32, either or, first or second, we can get a big fight, you know, cause a big church split and try to figure out which one it is. And that would be a typical Baptist business meeting. And then 33 is clearly second coming. Okay, so if we believe in the virgin birth in verse 31, it's very logical to believe the rest. But it's a funny thing, a lot of Christians do not. Okay, so the last few weeks I've been going through God's calendar that he is giving, that he's going to lay out in the future so we could kind of see what's going on and be prepared. So we're sitting in the church time. Okay, we're waiting for this program to get done. And it's in a mess, that's for sure. If you doubt that, just ask Lyle about his travels around the country from church to church. And the church is going to end up in a mess. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's science and scripture, both at the same time. Okay, and then we're waiting for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church to get out of here. Because an outside beautiful force, Jesus Christ, must come in and fix it. And so we're waiting for that. And then the church will go to the judgment seat of Christ. Once we're done with that, then we're marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we get to go on a horse ride, come on back, and then watch the fireworks take place. Down here, after the pre-tribulation rapture, God finishes. He's got to finish up Daniel's 70 weeks. We still got some time hang out here for Israel, between God and Israel. So that's where everything breaks loose here. That's called a dystopia. Dystopia, it's a mess before utopia. And that's Jesus Christ. And, of course, the world has been writing about this dystopia for quite a while. You know, Atlas Shrugged, you know, 1984, Animal Farm. They've been writing about it. And so they got to have that before the utopia comes in. And then the Lord has Armageddon. Okay, and so that's when we get to kind of watch the show. And then the first thing the Lord's going to do after that, he's going to have a judgment throne in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Good old jumping Jehoshaphat, that guy. Okay, and that's where he's going to bring in each nation individually, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Okay, and I would dare say there's going to be very few sheep. A lot of times people don't think about it, but people tend to think that if you lived in Nazi Germany or if you lived in Poland or in the Netherlands, hopefully you'd probably be Corrie ten Boom to help them out. But the chances are we'd be most like everybody else if we're honest about ourselves. Okay, and so that's just how it goes. So the sheep and the goat, and then the goat, they get, fired, or as they say down south, farred. Okay, and so then the sheep are the ones that get to start the population of the millennium. Not just them, there's other people involved. And then the greatest show on earth. Okay, finally, the Lord Jesus Christ receives the glory that's due him. That is the most important doctrine of the Bible. So that's what we're looking at this morning, about Jesus Christ becoming King of Kings. And so it's like if you're planning for, a very planned vacation. I mean, you've been looking forward to this for a long time. And if you've not been there, maybe you get online and you kind of search out where you want to go see, what you want to see. Usually what draws us to a certain location will either be the people that we want to see or the scenery. That's usually what it is. I mean, if I'm going to go to Australia, personally, Australia, yeah, okay, I've been there several times. It's not Australia that draws us, it's somebody else. It's the people that we want to go see. Heidi and the boys. Okay, the same with Belgium. Okay, it's funny. The first time we were in Belgium, Brent, when we go to these, there's two military bases. One is an American base and one is called Shape. And that's all sorts of militaries in there. And so when you got to sign in because we're guests, so we got to get in there. And the guy said to me, is this your first time in Belgium? And I said, yeah, it is. That was the previous time. That now we've been there twice. He said, well, welcome to Belgium. It only rains here once a year. The other 24 hours, the sun is shining. And yeah, it rained the whole time we were there. I mean, it was just amazing. Okay, but we go there to see the people. But then there's some amazing scenery. So you get online, if you're going to go someplace, you get online and see where can I go, what do I want to see, and all that stuff. Well, we can get online because we've got a great vacation coming up. Get online and we're going to try to see something. Now, where do we want to go on a vacation? I doubt that you're going to get online and look at Saudi Arabia. Maybe get on Iran. Let's go see what we can see in Iran. Now, you're going to find a place that's safe. And it's going to be safe when Jesus Christ is King. So when we flew into Belgium, Brent thought this one dude was kind of sketchy. And so he was kind of walking behind us, and I had got my poker in my pocket, and it's actually a pin, but it's a good poker. It's got a good sharp pointer. Call somebody if you need to. And so, we wanted to be safe, but there's not going to be anything safer than Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I'm going to show you some things about the millennial time period, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. If you would, Micah chapter 4, we'll run through some things. So in essence, we're going to get online and we're going to look to see what's going on in Micah chapter 4. It's right after Jonah, if that's a big help. Jonah was down in the mouth, the poor guy. And so Micah chapter 4. Micah was a parallel with Isaiah. And the last seven uppercase words found in the Bible, the last seven uppercase is in Revelation 19, and it says, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus Christ. One of those lowercase k's, one of those lower kings, where Jesus Christ is going to be the king in Jerusalem, as foretold in Scripture. And then he is going to allow others to be a part of his administration. So he might have a king or a prince in this country, and one in this country, and then one in this one. He's the king in Jerusalem. David's going to be one of those. King David, he's going to get another shot at it. So in Micah 4, verse 1, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So that's, if that's the only characteristic I want to give you about the 1,000-year reign of Christ, that's good enough. Jesus Christ is running a show. He's going to show people how it's supposed to be done. I mean, when he took it away from Israel, when he took it from Jeconiah, where God was so annoyed with Jeconiah, he said, "I'm taking my name off yours, taking a J off, that's out, Coniah. I'm taking it from you, and I'm going to give it to the devil." And then he's been running the kingdom since then. It's called the Times of the Gentiles, and then he passes this dude and this one and then this one. Whichever one worships him best, you know, usually the worship's behind the scenes. "And I'm going to put you in charge. The exception proves the rule. And then the Lord's going to show how the way it's supposed to be done. It's going to be a holy king. It's going to be a just king." We had a judge down in Rensselaer, you know, in that little Jasper County, that actually put in a paper in the past, "Justice means just us." Sadly, that's how most of them do it. Just us. And that guy was kind of known amongst some of the folks that he liked to snort this white powder. And yeah, you know, small little Jasper County. And so Jesus Christ is going to be the right kind of king, the right kind of judge. If you would, Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. So we're just going to run through some of the characteristics of this wonderful vacation the Lord's got planned. He's going to be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Then we're going to look at some of the people involved, because usually when you travel to a location, you're interested in either the scenery or the people involved. And so Jeremiah 23, verse 5, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." Notice uppercase B in that context. "And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." So that will be the judgment of the nations that he writes about, that Matthew wrote about in Matthew 25. And then he says, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely." That's not today. The Jews today have their own bomb shelters, and they got gas masks in there. And, you know, they got to watch out if somebody's got some kind of, something around their chest. And, you know, if somebody yells out, "Allah Akbar," you know. And that's when you want to have some ammunition porked in, you know, steeped in pig fat, you know. And so that kind of help out with something like that. That's not today. Israel shall dwell safely. There's going to be a time that's going to happen. "And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness." All uppercase letters. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy. No scandals with him. Holy and just, but yet caring. Caring. A lot of times these folks that are born with silver spoons in their mouth, they don't know how the common folk live. They know nothing about that. Okay? And so Jesus Christ is caring because he's walked in our moccasins 33 and a half years. And nobody had spiritual pressure put on them like Jesus Christ did. People often say, "Well, the devil made me do it." Oh, go kid somebody else. He ain't going to waste time with any of us. No, he knows my worst enemy is me. And the world pressure. The Lord Jesus Christ had a direct hit multiple times from Satan himself. I mean, and he just came through just as pretty as could be. Made a fool out of him. That's what the Lord did. Man, that's something. Okay, and so now the Lord Jesus, when he's King of Kings, he gives the opportunity for others to be a part of his administration. Okay, he gives that opportunity. And David is going to be one of those guys that gets that opportunity. If you're in Jeremiah, go to Ezekiel, if you would, in Ezekiel 34. He's going to get another shot at it. David. David is the number one name in the Bible, used more than any name in the Bible, with the exception of the name Lord. That's obviously number one. But with all man's names, men, women, children's names, David is the number one over 1,000 times. And in Ezekiel 34, it says, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. So he understands sheep. He was raised in sheep. While he's out there watching his sheep, he had a sling, and he was practicing. He'd kill this bird and get that bird and get this one. Then something bigger came along, and he thought, oh, man, that's an easy target. Just hit it in the head. He got a bear, and he got a lion. I mean, yeah, people talk about David and Goliath, you know. And I mean, wouldn't David have been scared? Well, I don't think so, because his gun wasn't going to jam. Would you be afraid if somebody brought a knife to a gunfight? Only if it jammed. And then you got to, you know, quick and fix it. David brought a gun to Goliath brought a gun to a knife, or a knife to a gunfight. And David just from a distance, and he had a five shooter. Goliath had four brothers. He's going to nail each one of them right between the eyes. That'll work. Well, David's going to be a king. He said, he shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. The Lord will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken. That was said over 400 years after the death of David. So he's going to get an opportunity. And what if the Lord gives you that opportunity? He's got it available. Now, for people in our day, if they want to see this millennial kingdom, what you need to do is be born again. Amen. Jesus Christ said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he said a second time, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, in that context, he's not talking about the spiritual aspect. He's talking about the physical aspect in that context. Okay, because another time he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So it goes both ways, where the kingdom of heaven is just physical. Kingdom of God, it goes both ways, just like you and I go both ways, where you have your body and your soul. See, one's natural, one's physical, or one's supernatural. So when he's saying that, now that gives, that's eternal security. You're promised to see and enter the millennial kingdom. Now, to be a part of the administration, to be able to serve as a king or priest under Jesus Christ, that's conditional. Okay, that's conditional. And Paul gave some of the criteria laid out. Okay, and that's an opportunity a person can kind of prepare beforehand. Okay, but David's going to be there. So the first characteristic of this wonderful utopia will be the monarch, Jesus Christ, be holy, just, and caring. That's the real Savior. The second thing is Israel is going to be pardoned. The nation of Israel is going to be pardoned. If you would, try Daniel 9:24. Now, there's a lot of confusion about Israel today. And rightly so. And a lot of folks don't consider the confusion for some reason. Because in Israel, you have multiple types of Jewish people, okay, in Israel. And you got to try to figure out what's what. Okay, most Jewish, natural-born Jewish people, okay, like in America, most of them are atheist and secular humanists. Most of them are. Then you have some natural-born Jewish people who sincerely are following Judaism. even though Judaism is a little bit, messed up. Okay, then you have mystic Jewish people. They may or may not be natural born Jews, but they're mystic. This is where the Kabbalah steps in. Then you have fake Jews. Okay, because Revelation, John said twice, there's some say they are Jews and are not, and they are of the synagogue of Satan. So you got that. Okay, and so you got a bunch in here. Then you have somebody who's a religious Jew, meaning a Gentile in the natural realm, but they have accepted Judaism. So, man, I just gave you five different types of Jewish people. Now, the Bible promises the remnant. There's a remnant that's going to inherit the promises. All the rest are going to suffer damnation. Okay? So, and a person needs to distinguish between those. If you're in Daniel 9:24, on this one, the remnant is what we are praying for in Daniel 9:24. The Jewish remnant, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And in Daniel 9, this is another time when that Gabriel angel showed up, and he's going to give some information. So, Michael was always standing up for certain people, standing and fighting, but Gabriel was giving wisdom. And so he got it directly from heaven. He's coming down, he's talking to Daniel, and Daniel had this vision, and it scared him to death, and he asked, "Would you explain this to me?" And Gabriel's explaining it. So Daniel 9:24, he said this, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. Okay, now you think 70 weeks, seven sets of 7 days. Well, the Lord gives us a little insight into this where he said 70 times seven. So he gives us some insight. That's a brevity of Daniel's 70 weeks where it turns out, with hindsight, we can see that the 70 weeks are referring to 70 sets of 7 years, totaling 490 years. So we have an advantage of hindsight. But this is between God and Israel, because when you read it, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. Thy people up there in verse 20 is Israel, and thy holy city over there in verse 16 and 18 is Jerusalem. That's all the sanctuary. That's all Jewish. So the Lord still has unfinished business with Israel. Now the finishing of it is described in verse 24. You got six or seven characteristics where it says, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. There's a no-brainer. That's the millennium. And to seal up the vision of prophecy and to anoint the most holy. There's a no-brainer. That's Jesus Christ. Now, that hasn't happened yet. And when Jesus told the apostles, you know, you got to forgive 70 times 7, he's not talking about 490 tribes. I mean, if you've been married a decade, you're already above the criteria. I mean, 490, no, he's talking about Israel being forgiven. Now, Ezekiel writes about Israel that they were wicked. They were more wicked than the heathen. He says that about it. That's what it's like today. They call it the Holy Lands, but boy, when you get in there and you start seeing stuff, and when you discover and read maybe a little bit of the Talmud in a couple sections, you're saying these people are holy? No, they're not. Ezekiel said that 2,600 years ago, and I don't think it's gotten better. But God still has that agreement with Israel. He's going to keep his promise. Okay, that's the key about that. So this promise here is Israel's going to be pardoned someday. They haven't yet. They haven't yet, but they're going to be someday. And the Jewish remnant's going to inherit those Abrahamic promises. The apostate Jews are going to be thrown in hell just like the lost. Okay, and so that's Israel's pardon. Another thing about that millennial time period, it says the knowledge of the Lord is going to be over the earth as the waters cover the sea. Last time I checked, that's quite a bit. Most people today, a lot of people today, when you say Jesus Christ, they think it's just a cuss word. Okay, and when you hear that, use the opportunity. Man, don't miss out on that opportunity. I was in a shoe store and this lady walked by me. She goes, "Oh, Jesus Christ." And I said, "He's a good Savior." Catch him off guard. Not just a cuss word. And she goes, "Oh, yeah, I guess so." And man, if they bring it up, jump on that thing. Jump all over that. So it says the knowledge of the Lord is going to be worldwide. Not only that, because of that, it's going to have worldwide peace and prosperity. What kind of prosperity? Well, let's go with the animals first. If you would, look in Isaiah chapter 11. We'll stick with Isaiah 11. And a fun little way, if somebody doesn't believe in dispensations, a fun little way to kind of convince them is give them some raw meat and ask them to go to the zoo and stick their hand in the cage and feed it to the lion. Just see how that works. They'll soon come out dispensationalist. Isaiah 11, verse 6. The earth gets born again. Everything goes back to the Garden of Eden days. Man, it's going to be fascinating to see this. In Isaiah 11, verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and a young lion and a fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And a cow and the bear shall feed. And the kid gets a real teddy bear. I mean, a real live teddy bear. It's not going to eat them. And it says, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, like the ox. And a sucking child shall play in the hole of an asp, poisonous snake. The weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And if you want Isaiah chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. Now, Alaska has a very short growing season, but because they have so much sunlight, the plants grow very quickly and often very large. Okay, and in the millennial time period, the sun, the sunlight is going to be so phenomenal that the plants are going to grow amazing. Amos writes about this where he mentions that the sower shall overcome the reaper. And what does he mean by that? Okay, that's not a, you know, I know there are a couple farmers where they let their crops go all winter long and they got to actually get the combine out to get the crops out to put the planter in. Now that's not, you know, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about where they could put a crop in at the first of spring and then harvest it at the last of spring and then put another one in the first of summer and then at the end. Four times a year they can do that. Four times a year. In Belgium, it stays green all year round because it doesn't really freeze and it rains all the time. I mean, the problem they have there is trying to get the crop in between the rains. And they grow year round. They grow sugar beets and wheat and corn, sometimes silage with corn, and then potatoes. The Belgium is one invented fries. It's not French fries, it's Belgium fries. And if you say French fries there, they get upset. Okay, but during the millennial time period, four times a year, and Isaiah 30, notice in verse 26. It says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Oh, the moon gives its own light. That's right. It's a cool light. It's a cool light. It's not a reflection of the sun. It's its own light. I saw an interview of a guy in the mid-1960s, a real brilliant fellow, a scientist guy, and they asked him about, are the men going to go to the moon? He said, they ain't going to the moon. He said, made out of plasma. It's got its own light. They didn't interview that guy ever again. I don't know why they didn't interview that guy. But it says that the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Man, the crops are going to be phenomenal. People raising a farm, we're going to say, man, why couldn't we do that? Man, oh man, that's going to be amazing. You see, that's what Romans 8 talks about, where he says the creation groaneth. You know, the cat chasing the mouse down. You know, the cat said, man, I can't wait till this is over with. And a mouse said, you and me both. They're both waiting for the day for the earth to get born again. They're waiting for that day. And that's what the millennial time period is going to be like. No devil, no unclean spirits. Man, isn't that a good deal? The only thing the people that are flesh and blood during those time period have to worry about is their flesh, which is bad enough. But for born-again people, man, born-again people, we got regenerated flesh. Everything we think is going to be right. No evil dreams at nighttime. No evil thoughts coming through the head. It's going to be a wonderful time. Being born again, Jesus said, you're promised to see that. And what about the people involved? Well, the prosperity. If you would go to Isaiah 65, the prosperity. It's going to be amazing. Isaiah 65, 17. He repeats the idea in verse 25 about the animal life and the plant life is restored back to the Garden of Eden. He repeats that in 25. But for people who are flesh and blood people during that time period, Isaiah 65, 17, it says, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. That would be the tribulation. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. In case a child dies, you know, somebody dies at 100. You should hear about that kid. Isn't that a shame that kid died? 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. Oh, it's not given to HUD. HUD doesn't take it away from them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall build in another and another, they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. And they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Do you ever get some an unanswered prayer? Of course, we don't really got to worry about that because we're going to have a resurrected body. Amen. I mean, that's a glorious thing to think about. Praise the Lord. What about the people? How do the people? A lot of times when you travel, you know, we travel, man, we're interested in the people. And what about the people? Well, it's going to be the one group is going to be resurrected Israel and the resurrected of the tribulation. The ones who get beheaded, they get resurrected. They had to endure that 3.5 years or whatever that time, short time span, if they've made it through, and they get 1,000 and replaced. Now, isn't that a good deal? So that's one group. Another group would be born-again people who actually meet the criteria to be able to be a part of the administration, but they're a unique situation. We have miniature replicas of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that, being a replica of the Lord Jesus Christ? That would be born-again people who have gone through the judgment seat. That's one. And then, what about children of the past? I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but Jesus Christ said in Matthew, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now that's Matthew. That's the only time you find kingdom of heaven. In the other two locations, in Mark and in Luke, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. What's he saying? He's telling us that people who died without the knowledge of good and evil, children that died, get resurrected. And they get to live in a perfect environment with a perfect king. They get to make a choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ during that millennial time period. What about all these abortions? These kids coming back. They're going to be in a millennial kingdom. Authority for that? Well, the Lord said it three times, but in the Old Testament, here's the example in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Now, doctrinally, this idea is about going into the land of Canaan, but Hebrews likens the land of Canaan to a rest. And in Hebrews, the rest that he's... that Paul's writing about in Hebrews is the millennial rest. So the parallel is the same. And in Deuteronomy 1:39, it says, "Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil." Now notice, this is often called the age of accountability. It's not right from wrong. There's a different criteria between good and evil. It's the knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge between good and evil. They shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Boy, isn't that going to be something? The Lord's going to make everything right. Now, at the end of the millennium is when everything is made right at the white throne, which we'll work on next week, Lord willing. But still, these are the characteristics of the millennial time period where we have a holy, just, and loving monarch in Jesus Christ. Israel, the nation of Israel, is going to be pardoned. And the whole world is going to know the Lord. And the whole world is going to have peace and prosperity. I mean, not like you've ever seen before. No devil, no unclean spirits. Now, the people in flesh and blood, they got to deal with their flesh. And it just blows my mind somehow, some way, at the end when the devil's let loose, he can deceive those people who never experience a scandal, but yet they turn against Jesus Christ. I just don't get that. That does not register in my mind. But the people and our participants, all the animal and plant kingdoms goes back to the Garden of Eden. The word regeneration is found two times in the Bible. One is referring to the person's soul in Titus, and the one in Matthew is referring to the earth, where it gets born again. Israel gets born again as a people. I don't understand that, how that's going to work as far as a nation goes, but I just believe what the book says. And so, but the people, the resurrected Israel, children throughout the history that have died before, the knowledge of good and evil. And for us, people living in this day, there's only one way. There's only one way to get there, is being born again. Amen. It's the only way. Jesus Christ said that. You got to be born again. If you're born again, you'll see it and you'll enter into it. And then there's a criteria if we want to be possibly making it better by trying to live faithful to the Lord, then there's an opportunity we might be presented to. Okay, and of course, Paul lays out all the criteria and the qualifications for that. So, not expecting that, but sure am expecting to see and enter into that's for sure. Be born again. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that everyone in this room understands that and believes that idea of being born again, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray that that would be first and foremost. And this day, Lord, that's the only way to get into that millennial time period. Be born again. Be born again. And Lord, I pray that if a person's not certain of that, that they would talk to somebody. That they would reach out and try to get that settled so that they can be 100% sure of that. Lord, there's nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. The piano will play. If you'd like to use the altar, it's open for you. If you've not been born again, and if you aren't certain of that, If you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand and I'll be glad to pray for you. Be sure. Don't guess on that. Don't gamble with that. Man, make sure of that. Lord, thank you for the great promises of the Word. And Lord, I pray for the one that wants to understand born again. I pray that would be that day. I just thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do what we can to plan for this great vacation that's ahead of us, that's available, free, in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the day when you finally get the glory that's due thee. Sooner the better, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.